Welcome to On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah, a podcast presented by ReformJudaism.org. Every week, Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the president of the Union for Reform Judaism, shares a new spin on the weekly Torah portion in just about 10 minutes or less. Some weeks he's joined by a guest, and some weeks he shares his own perspective, but On the Other Hand always provides you with a modern take on over 2,000 years of Jewish wisdom. This week, episode 78, Rabbi Jacobs speaks about the combined portions of Matot Maseh. He wonders where you have been and what the stops were along the way.
This week we focus our attention on the last two parshiot of the book of Numbers, Matot and Maseh. I'm going to focus on the second of the two portions, which is the very, very closing chapters of the book of Numbers. Maseh means travels, journeys, and the Jewish people are on their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And the book of Numbers basically catalogs almost 38 years of that journey. It's the lion's share of their traveling. And the parasha basically enumerates the 42 stops along the way, the things that happened to them, the places that they visited, and some of the things that happened in each of those. So it's really a taking stock of the journey. And in so many ways, it parallels many of us who journey in our lives collectively as part of a movement, as we in the Reform movement or we in collective Jewish life are on our way somewhere. Remember, in the Torah, our people is homeless. They're on a journey, but they're hoping along the way to find themselves and to find that not only spiritual home, but that actual home. The great historian at Columbia, Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, really the dean of many modern Jewish historians, wrote a fabulous book called Zachor, Jewish History and Jewish Memory. And in it, he says that Israel, the Jewish people, we're told that we must become a kingdom of priests and a holy people, but it doesn't actually tell us to become a nation of historians. So the Torah's narrative isn't just to sort of tell history in some accurate, objective way. It's trying to uncover what was the significance of what happened to us along the way. And I know that collective journeys change us. There are so many great teachings about it. Henry Miller, the author, said that one's destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things, right? That somehow our journey uncovers not just a path, but a dimension of who we are. And that is so true for the ancient Israelites. I'd like to actually think not only of personal journeys, but also collective journeys. So I'm going to think with you about the Reform movement, particularly after World War II. So much change. It's a period of enormous growth. More congregations are created during this period, and frankly, more growth within our movement. And so I just want to point out not 42 places and not 42 things, but some things that really tell a story about how the post-war years really came to shape who we are. So I'd like to think that in 1952, we actually, as a movement, purchased our first overnight camp. Rabbi Maurice Eisendrath of blessed memory, the first president of UHC, was kind of unclear, why are we going to have summer camps? We don't do that. We're a movement. We're a denomination. But they convinced him in Conwalk, Wisconsin, there was a piece of property and a camp to be purchased. Turned out to be transformative. We think along the way about some of those stops in 1963. Many of our people who were involved in the civil rights movement, marching for justice, marched on Washington and gathered to reimagine how the ancient Hebrew prophets might actually help us in the struggle for freedom and justice here in the United States. I think in 1972, Sally Prezan, Rabbi Sally Prezan, becomes the first woman rabbi ordained on these shores. Transformative, changes everything. 1974, the first LGBTQ congregation is admitted into the UAHC, the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, in Los Angeles, Beit Chaim Chadashim. What a trailblazing moment to say that LGBTQ are so much a part of who we are they must be included in our congregational body. These are moments that changed everything. Or when Debbie Friedman showed up in the 70s as a song leader writing a new kind of Jewish music and Jewish prayer that literally helped to reshape what being a person of spirituality, what music might sound like. She picked up a guitar instead of a keyboard and picked the idiom of certainly American folk music and reshaped what spirituality is. 1975, a new Reformed prayer book called The Gates of Prayer expands the place of Hebrew and the place of, frankly, Jewish ethnicity and all the different modalities of understanding God and relating, you know, with 10 different Erev Shabbat services, really signaling a new moment. 1978 in Houston, Texas, Rabbi Alexander Schindler, then the president of the UHC, addressed the union's board and said, it's time for us to stop thinking that interfaith couples are not part of our Jewish present and future. I mean, a transformative moment. And at many of these moments, people were not ready for these moments. It wasn't like, oh, that's so great, Debbie, pick up that guitar and change everything. Oh, and Sally, would you be our rabbi? And oh, Rabbi Schindler, what a great thing to change Jewish life. Can I just tell you, these moments, like the journey through the desert, were hard moments. And there were a lot of people who were saying, don't you dare. That's not who we are. That's not what this is about. But leaders of courage and conviction, I think of some of the congregations who say, you know, my rabbi marched for civil rights. My rabbi was at the March on Washington. We're so proud. And I remember my rabbi, Rabbi Jack Stern Jr., blessed memory, remembers what it was really like to be that rabbi who marched in the March on Washington and came back and had congregants who said, what were you doing there? Why weren't you here doing all the things that you're supposed to do for our congregation? So whenever there are these kind of larger arcs and larger journeys that change us and change our understanding of the world, you can be sure those are fraught with difficulty and challenge and at times resistance. So we tell these stories in the Torah to remind us of what happened. Not everything that happened, but the significant things that really affected deeply who we were, because it allowed us to go to that new place. For the Jewish people, allows us to move from the wandering in the desert to the idea of settling in the land and building a new Jewish world and a new Jewish present. I think about all these journeys, and I know some of you may go on journeys this summer. Maybe you're on a journey right now. You're sitting in an airport waiting for an airplane or a train, and you're thinking, you know, I'm excited about where I'm going. One of the things I think we take away from this narrative is you can't just be excited for where you're going. You got to be excited for where you are, because those places that are unpredicted are sometimes the most powerful places. Martin Buber said that all journeys have secret destinations of which the traveler is unaware. So I know that, you know, I get Rabbi Google open every time I go somewhere, and Rabbi Google tells me, take a left over here, take a right over there, because Rabbi Google knows I've got to get to 117, you know, 34th Street. But Rabbi Google doesn't know that that person I just passed along the way may in fact be someone I should stop and talk to. And that thing that's not in any of the guidebooks may in fact be the thing I want to pay the most attention to. So sometimes having a little bit more open-endedness in our journeying allows us not just to get somewhere, but to be somewhere. And I love that most of all, because I'm always in a hurry. I'm a New Yorker. So I'm always looking at the shortest distance, the shortest duration of any trip. But what I want to be thinking about, what I hope all of us are thinking about, not just how can we quickly get there, but how can we be changed and in somehow enriched along the way, so that will make a journey that is truly, truly transformative. So 42 stops for our ancestors in Parashat Maaseh. Maybe you got 5 stops this weekend, or you're going somewhere else. Make sure to remember not just what happened. A lot of times when we travel, we remember all the difficult stories and my flight was canceled, and I got to the hotel and they didn't have a room for me. Well, let's not just remember things that went wrong. Let's remember the things that we learned, that helped us grow, Those are the things that actually are most powerful as we go. And I love Mark Twain's line that travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. When we travel, we can actually be confronted by some of the things that hold us and hold our worlds back. But when we journey forth with an open mind and an open heart, and maybe even a bit of an open itinerary, we learn and we grow and we outgrow some of those things that really, I think, squelch some of the most beautiful and powerful human instincts. So safe travels wherever you're going, because we're all going, hopefully, to a better tomorrow. But it starts with a really, really thoughtful journey today. Travel safe.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah. If you liked what you heard today, and we hope you did, you can find new episodes each week at reformjudaism.org and on iTunes, where we would love for you to rate and review us. And you can visit reformjudaism.org to learn more about all aspects of Judaism, including rituals, culture, holidays, and more. On the other hand, 10 Minutes of Torah is a project of the Union for Reform Judaism, a leading voice in the discussion of modern Jewish life. Until next week, B'hitra'ot.